Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
It's the late, great James Brown, the godfather of soul, bringing us back. As long as we're hanging around here, we'll be spinning his products. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. We're having a great visit with Tony Uphoff. He's the CEO of Thomas.net. Thomas.net, is that right, Tony?
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, it's Thomas.net, is that right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. You're clicking out there a little bit.
Sorry
Thomasnet.com.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Tony, what we've been talking about is the shifts that are going on right now in the workplace and the marketplace, and what's, I think, is interesting dynamic going on right now, as we are, we're not really pushing people, but I'm going to use that term, as we're pushing our staff out away from us, so to speak. We're going to increasingly bring our supply chain in closer to us. That's an interesting dynamic going on right now, isn't it?
Yeah, and Jim, look, you've been on this for a while now, and not just about remote work, but if you think about this Black Swan event that radically shifted, you know, we've seen a balancing between working remotely and working anywhere you want to traditional office work for, you know, 20 years now, mm-hmm. but now suddenly, you know, we've radically accelerated that. And I think it's allowed people that look at the world in business purely through financial terms to say, holy smokes, look at this. I could save a ton of dough on real estate. But I think it's also had many of us kind of looking towards the future of how do we best balance the fact that as human beings, we're social animals, and how do we want to make sure that our employees are engaged, they remain curious, they remain connected to each other, that their own kind of emotional well-being doesn't deteriorate mm-hmm. because of isolation. And I'll be honest with you, Jim, there's things we're doing, but I think this is a bit of an unknown still. I don't think
It'll be 3 to 5 years minimum before anybody has any kind of an evaluation on this. And all I'm hoping to do, Tony, and I know you are too, all I'm hoping to do is to cause people who have the power to push people to those remote working locations, that the people who have the ability to do that do it with the complete understanding of what you just said, and that's that you are pushing. You're not creating a new place remotely to put a server. You're putting a human being out there. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, you're spot on, Jim, and I think in balance of that, what I'm starting to see, and you know, I'll share with you what our company's looking to do. But as I talk to my peers in and around New York City and other major metros, I think there's similar things that are developing. So at Thomas, we have two floors in a good sized building in New York City. The company, as you know, is 122 years old. Mm-hmm. We've been in that building, Jim, since 1923.
Wow!
So pretty remarkable longevity. But as we look at kind of the world, you know, as we start to reopen, we're looking at this. Over 80% of our employees, based on surveys, are very comfortable working remotely. All of those are very uncomfortable getting on mass transit for the mm-hmm. foreseeable future as a way into
an office.
Are they
still productive? Are they still productive as you reported 2 months ago?
They are, Jim, and it's interesting, and this is a study that, to your point, of 5 years from now, maybe we'll understand it. Not only are they productive, what I'm seeing is a next level shift, if you will, to personal accountability and responsibility for their productivity, mm-hmm. right? And we always had a bit of that. I'm really proud of the culture we have. But rather than, you know, somebody having a manager tell them how they're doing, what I'm watching is people are paying attention to their own productivity mm-hmm. and their output. And we spend a lot of time looking at metrics like customer success and connect time and, you know, how many people have to touch a problem before it's resolved and stuff like that. And without asking anybody to do this, Jim, people are posting progression on our internal Slack channels. People mm-hmm. are posting their own wow. areas of responsibility, and they're taking responsibility. Now, I I'd like to think that was happening before, Jim, and I think there's some evidence that it was. But I think what's really interesting, and frankly, from my vantage point, unanticipated, is people are self-actualizing around being given the flexibility of working remote and then the tools we provide for them. And we do provide a fair amount of data, dashboards, and analytics so that you can kind of, you know, it literally is like a dashboard in a car or an airplane. So you can kind of see what's going on at any point in time. And we designed these, Jim, to be less about management doing an aha, you're not working, and much more for the individual to understand what they're doing and where they're doing and how they're doing it. Some good news from that.
One of the things that I've been hearing from people, though, also is the younger generations need more frequent feedback and I want to say encouragement, but they need more contact more frequently. Is that something that you guys are seeing, and how are you dealing with that?
Yeah, so we're a little over 50% millennial generation or younger in our workplace. And, it's funny. Some of the cliches, I think, apply. You know, I don't know that when I was at that stage of my career, I needed any less coaching. Now, I might not have been as overt, Jim, about
you know what the difference was, Tony? You did. We did, but our bosses didn't care. Let me say this. I can tell you right now. I wouldn't be where I am without my mentors. I quote them all the time, but they didn't worry about whether I was happy or not. I can tell you that right now.
Right.
That was the 20th century, folks. It was the driving managers. They weren't leading managers. Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and I promise you, we're going to get into the supply chain after the break. Tony's wisdom has just been too strong on this new workplace thing. I've really enjoyed hearing him talk about that. Tintel, right back with Tony Upoff. He's with Thomas, thomas.net.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.